Them Evil Empire guys gonna get shot for playing this record.
I got niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole, niggas in my butthole.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Once upon a time, I went to a party, went to go have sex with my girlfriend. Oh shit, this guy came up. He said, "Get your pants down, bitch. I was a white cracker. Then he went into my bedroom and then he said, "I'm putting my dick in your butthole. It's niggas in my butthole, 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 niggas in my butthole."
Oh, hello everyone, and welcome back to I Just Had a Terrible Thought. It's the only show on the internet. My name is Kyle, and Bames is here.
Hustle bones coming out my mouth, Kyle.
Hustle bones?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what is a hustle bone?
I don't really know. Like the bone of a hustler? Maybe.
Do people ever call dice bones? I feel like maybe they do.
That would make sense if they did.
Like,
because of that Rush song.
They're shooting craps and they're like throwing bones or something.
Well, I thought throwing bones was like flipping the bird.
Oh, maybe. But,
like roll the bones. That might still be rolling like oracle bones.
If flipping the bird is called throwing bones, that's really funny to me. I don't know why. I guess because it makes it sound like whoever's flipping the bird is like, well, a skeleton. Yeah, like a really shaky, like thin bony dork or something. Like, yeah. It doesn't sound badass to be throwing bones if that means giving the middle finger. It sounds sort of rickety and weak.
Well, they gotta have a term for all ages.
Yeah, well, I'm coming for the whole rap game, so you're all gonna die. Speaking of people who are gonna die, Bames, you have been stepping out on me.
Yeah, because you can't satisfy me, Kyle.
Yeah, because I don't do enough shows for you. Oh.
Mm-hmm. I gotta be on a podcast.
You know, I started watching anime for you, and I tried to talk about it, and you didn't even want to. And then I stopped doing enough shows to satisfy you, and you go off to an anime-specific show. Which only came back.
Not anime.
Which only came back because of me anyway.
Yeah.
And, oh man, this show is going to die. So, fightbait.com, John Paul, Whiskey Thursday, the guy that all you people love for some inexplicable reason and are willing to send money to hear old shitty shows that he did, where he just talks about his dick. He came back, he started doing his anime show, which he censors like a child. And, I asked him to let me on his show, and he was afraid to, because he thought I would say terrible, mean things. And then he finally is like, "Oh, maybe I'll have you on because this other guy won't be on." And I said, well, it's too late for that now, which was really just me being a lady and playing hard to get because, you know, it's not, I can't seem too desperate. But then he didn't take the hint, and instead he just had Bames on again. So you're both dead to me. And he tried to start a pod war. He said he wanted to go to pod war with me. And then he didn't like it when I said mean things to him. So he's going to die. And as part of my plan to make him die, I'm going to be on a different anime show, Bames.
What, Alpha Counter?
I don't know if it's going to be Alpha Counter or Method to Mothballs. Not that there's really that much difference between the two, I guess. Method to Madness is supposed to be the one that's anime focused, so that would make more sense. But
is anybody ever on Method to Madness other than Sean and Kevin, though?
The business?
Yeah.
Everyone in podcasting should die. I'm just into the death of podcasters tonight. The business. That's something. Like, podcasters definitely need to stop with the pseudonyms. I am never, ever going to call John Paul Fightbait. Not that he's asked me to, but other people do. Like, they'll be like, hey, fight bait, how are you? That's dumb. His name is John Paul. And Sean, I'm never going to call Sean Ryan the Gray Ghost or Kevin the Business.
But I get to be Bames because that sounds like a real
You get to be Bames because otherwise I would constantly be asking you what happens in the fall.
Yeah. And I would quit.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, Bames, this week I got a message on Facebook from an old pal of mine from high school that I've talked about on the show before. His name is Devin. He's a weird guy. We were pretty good friends in high school, and then I really don't remember exactly what happened that made us stop hanging out, but we did, and he ended up moving to the Ukraine. And then
yeah,
I would
he follows
sort of,
me on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. And I would just sort of hear from him from time to time, and I eventually followed him on Twitter, and fuck. And all he does now is tweet and retweet about politics in the Ukraine. And I guess he came to Michigan recently, and he was going to see a concert where I live with a friend of his. I don't know who this friend is. And he messages me on Facebook and he's like, hey, me and my friend are coming to see this concert. Is there any way we could stay at your house tomorrow night? And I said no. And I felt like a real dick about it. Because I feel like that's a thing that would like normally happen between friends, and like they'd be totally cool with it. They'd be like, oh yeah, of course, come on over. Yeah, oh, it's been
not a homie
so long.
Crash.
Yeah.
But you don't want anybody staying in that trash heap.
Well, that is sort of part of it. But also I just don't like, I've talked before about how like the idea of a person just dropping in on me, like if a friend of mine just showed up at my door with unannounced, I would be mad. Like, I don't know how normal that is. I don't know if everybody feels that way, but I feel like there are definitely people who just go to each other's places. Like they knock, knock. Oh, who's there? Oh, hi.
Yeah, I'm like Seinfeld.
Yeah. Well,
it was based on true events.
Yeah. But I feel like there are people who like, that's what their social lives are like. And that's what mine was like when I was a little kid. Like I'd just go down the street to my friend's house and knock on the door and be like, can so-and-so come out to play? And I feel like people still do that as adults, and it's not considered weird, but it would anger me. But I felt like a dick because I felt like I was being unreasonable. So I messaged him back and I was like, no, I didn't know how to say no. That's, I guess, what made me feel like a dick, because I didn't know how to say no without sounding like I was mad at him or something. Like, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
So I tried. I was like, no, I haven't had another human being in my apartment in like a year. No, this is not going to happen. I definitely at least need more notice than this. Plus my apartment, like the management or whatever put a notice on my door not too long ago saying, people have been complaining about cockroaches in your building. And so we're going to have an exterminator come in and, go through every apartment and exterminate cockroaches or whatever. So I've never seen a cockroach, but whatever. And part of the way this was supposed to work is I had to go through I had to clean my whole apartment, which whatever, I should be doing that anyway if I was a sane human being, a normal person. But I had to pull everything out of my closets. Everything had to be off the floor. All furniture had to be at least 3 feet away from the walls. I had to take everything out of my cupboards and drawers. So I just got shit piled all over the place.
You just got towers.
Yeah, just towers of stuff all over the place. And, there's stuff all over my couch, which is where those boys would have had to sleep, I assume.
Well, it would work out. Like, they come over, they get exterminated. You don't have to deal with them.
I had to leave my apartment for, like, 3 hours. And I wandered down to the movie theater by the mall nearby. And I watched Edge of Tomorrow. Have you seen that, Bames?
I haven't. I want to, actually.
I liked it. It was pretty good. I was kind of half asleep, though, because I ended up, because they were going to come really early, I ended up staying up all night and then wandering out there. So I had been up for like 24 hours or something when I went to see it. But I liked it. I liked it quite a bit.
I like the title of the book it's based on more. It's called All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, is it based on like a Japanese light novel, like all those animes I've been watching?
Mm-hmm. So that's why you liked it.
Yeah, because it was some weeb shit.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is so bishy.
Tom Cruise is like kind of looks like an anime man.
Mm-hmm.
Bames, how come all those anime characters are white people?
Well, let me tell you about privilege.
This is my new original observation about anime that no one's made before. How come Japanese people have closed eyes and anime people have giant open eyes?
Uh-huh. God, can I tell you a story relating to this from recent times? Is last week, last Wednesday, last Fight Bait anime podcast. There's a guy, Bradley C. Meek, was on. I might have written this in the chat just this Wednesday or something. But we're talking to Fernando, who's been on the show. John Paul calls up Fernando, and it turns out, Fernando is in Vietnam teaching English as a second language. So we're talking to his class. And this guy, Bradley Meek, he starts talking about white privilege.
Oh,
and
dear.
I wanted to reach into my screen and punch him in the mouth.
So is this during the after show?
Yeah, this is the after show. I imagine it would be unlistenable because they didn't exactly have an audio setup. I think they were talking into a MacBook internal microphone.
So what was this Brad Meeks saying about white privilege? What an appropriate last name. What was he saying about white privilege?
I think while we were teaching the Vietnamese kids what the word nerd meant. And then just out of nowhere, he said, do you know about white privilege?
Oh, wow. So there wasn't even like a smooth transition into it or a reason to bring it up.
It was not very smooth.
So do you
smoother than I make it out?
Do you Vietnamese kids know why you should hate whitey?
Yeah.
That's great. Wow. What a faggot.
I think he said, like, I have enough troubles explaining that concept to people over here. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha. You guys are with me, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Now, let me tell you, nerd is basically like the English word for otaku.
Oh, man. Bames, how come everyone in the world is a faggot?
It's Obama.
Oh, God. Thanks, Obama.
I was going to ask you, when you went back into your apartment after they exterminated, was there like green clouds?
No, but I waited longer than I needed to. So maybe if I'd come back like an hour earlier, I would have seen green clouds.
Hmm.
I came back and all my cupboards were open.
And all my Teddy Grahams were gone.
And that's the only way I could tell that anybody had been here. Now, I haven't had Teddy Grahams in forever, Bames.
Yeah, I apologize for bringing this up.
I've been living a gramless life. Bames, everyone in the world is a faggot. I've seen a lot of it this week. I'm sure that you have seen all this. I don't really want to get into this, but I'm sure you've seen all this Zoe Quinn stuff that's been going around. I love it, though. Like, it's so dramatic. So much bullshit going on, and everyone's being a weird baby about it.
I like it, but at the same time, I want it to just stop.
So, like I said, I don't really want to make a whole segment about this and, like, going through all the details and everything. But Zoe Quinn is a female game developer, which... She isn't really. I mean, she kind of is technically. She made one game that's a game. If you really broaden the definition of a game, like it's almost
really a female games personality.
Yeah, that's hold on. So she made a game called Depression Quest, which isn't even really a game. It's not even a visual novel. It's like almost a visual novel, but it's lacking the visual part.
It's like a text adventure, except it doesn't have an enter your own text.
Yeah, it's essentially just a web page, like a series of web pages with links. That's all it really is. And I tried to play it. I didn't get very far because it was just so dull and lame. But so she made this game called Depression Quest. And that is like the one thing that was notable about her up till now. Somehow,
the real thing that was notable about her is that in the process of making and putting this bad game on Steam Greenlight or whatever,
yeah,
she said that she had been harassed for being a female games developer by Wizard Chan, who I'm just going to go out on a limb and doubt that they did that.
Yeah, well, as far as I can tell, they didn't. And I was going to mention that. But so, like, if you drop all the drama and just focus on games, the only reason she's relevant at all is because she made this shitty non-game. So that makes no sense. Like, why would anybody be talking about her at all? There's nothing remarkable about it or anything. But then, yeah, she claimed to have been, like, harassed by Wizard Chan, which I didn't even know existed. I know that there are various Chans. Like, it's not just 4chan. And I mean, 4chan wasn't the first one either. That's basically based on 2chan, right? Which is a Japanese website. So there are all these image boards, and Wizard Chan is some weird little one that I'd never even heard of before. And I guess she claimed they were harassing her, and that got her all kinds of publicity and stuff. And that was how her game first started getting noticed. And then it kind of like Gone Home. Gone Home features a lesbian, so therefore it's 10 out of 10 game of the year. Depression Quest is about depression, which is like, oh, wow, that's not what video games are normally about. They're usually about collecting coins and stomping on bad guys. So this one's about depression. That's, wow, that's crazy. You just went robot. Let me call you back.
Okay.
BRB, everybody. Sorry. All right, I'm back. I'm calling back, Bames. Hey, Bames.
What a man. What a man.
So as I was saying, like with Gone Home, how it was essentially a non-game in a lot of ways, but it was game of the year because it involved a lesbian. Depression Quest, because it was about a quirky subject, and because it was made by a girl, and because it involved a bunch of harassment behind the scenes and people needed to show their support for girl gamers. It became suddenly some kind of great achievement, great step forward for gaming. So people gave a shit about it because of that. And so I don't fully, the games industry, and more so the games journalism industry, is so fucking weird and incestuous and kind of fucking disgusting. Like,
I won't go so far as to say that it's corrupt, because that kind of puts it in a light like it's a business.
Well, calling
it's it, more just like the people who make games and games journalists are really buddy-buddy with each other.
Yeah, calling it corrupt makes it almost sound like they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they do. I think they're all just
a bunch of nerds who play games and write about them and get paid no money.
Yeah, it's a bunch of weird faggots who think they're actually doing something, and they're all friends, and they all fuck. It's really strange. Like, I've talked about it before, how there's technically nothing wrong with it, but it's weird to me how, like, Anthony Birch, who I've decided I just flat out hate now. Like, I used to like him. He used to write for Destructoid. I used to think he was funny. He does videos and stuff. And then he quit Destructoid to go write for Borderlands 2, to go write for Gearbox. He is now in the games industry. He went from being a guy who writes and talks about how much he likes video games or hates video games, depending, to being someone who writes for video games based on fucking nothing, just based on the fact that he knows people.
Yeah.
He had no experience writing video games, but now he's a video games writer. And he's also a giant fucking faggot baby. I guess this is a tangent, but I saw on his Twitter the other day, he was talking about XSEED, which is a games company.
Oh, yeah.
They localized a game called Akiba's Trip, which is about, I guess it's about a trip to Akiba, to Akihabara, but it's also about stripping vampires or something. I don't really know that much about the game. But as part of the localization of the game, they translated some, there's like a message board that you can read, that I guess updates as you're playing the game. And they're just different users that are using this message board, and you can read what they're saying. And one of the users keeps talking about how they're a girl. Like, every time they speak, they mention that they're a girl. And then one of the other users, who's kind of a dick, tells them, like, to shut up. Nobody cares what they're talking about, and then calls them a trap. So
the implication being that, well, not even the implication. Essentially, they're flat out saying that this person is not actually a girl. Trap being like a hilarious internet term for chicks with dicks, essentially.
Yeah.
Because the idea being like, it's actually a boy, but they're trapping you by making you think they're a girl. And this made a bunch of fucking faggots cry. And I saw Anthony Birch was tweeting about this thing. That's actually how I found out about it. And then somebody tweeted to him, as far as I can tell, it's not a joke. The character that uses the slur, because Trap is a slur, is a transphobic asshole and possibly a villain. So they're saying that the character in the game who called another character a trap is possibly, like, they're supposed to be a dick and possibly a villain. So then Anthony Birch writes back and he says, yeah, but that's like saying having a villain call a black character an N-word is okay because he's evil. Yes, Anthony, you fucking baby idiot. Yes,
that is. By the way, I hated Django.
Yeah, that is. Of course that's okay. What a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
How can you write that and not feel like an idiot?
I think in the Japanese version, like, it is a pretty literal translation from what is in the Japanese version of Akiba's Trip, but I think the term that they have for that in the Japanese, I guess, doesn't sound quite as rude, but, like, whatever. Trap is just a silly word. Well, I think it literally just means, like, man who is like women.
And it's not like... I don't really know that much about this Akiba's Trip game, and I don't care, but the hypothetical situation that he's talking about is so, and I've heard people say this, it's so dumb. It's the same argument people made about, like, Metal Gear Solid 5, about how it's not okay for the villain to have done all these horrible things to whatever that bit, Paz or whatever her name was, yeah. Paz. It's not okay for the villain to have done all these horrible things to her, even though, like, he's evil. He's doing bad things because he's a bad guy. They're not meant to be viewed as good things he was doing. It's still not okay because it's just not okay to depict, period. Because, like, the fact that the writer made the villain do this means that the writer is into doing these things. Like, yeah. Like, so if you ever watch a movie with a serial killer in it or something, you should be like, whoa, what's up with this author?
I thought we were supposed to be on Dracula's side.
So fucking incredibly dumb. And what's even crazier about it is that these people don't mind at all when a villain murders someone. Like, that's a thing a villain would do. That's fine. Sure. Like, this argument would make more sense. It still wouldn't make sense, but it would make more sense to me if you were like, if you saw something in which a villain kills someone and you're like, that's not okay. Like, and you boycotted that because there was a murder in it. This fucking idiot baby. So I hate him now. But he got his job at Borderlands basically just because he's friends with everyone who's involved in video games, at least in the US. And I've seen that happen with other people too. Like, they're always flip-flopping around to different jobs, and they end up in industries they don't belong in. Like, games writers end up as games developers, which isn't a thing that shouldn't be allowed to happen, but it's a thing that happens way more often than makes any fucking sense at all.
It's a thing. Well, yeah, it's very clearly a sign that this is still, like, a fledgling business, and it's definitely something that you should be keeping an eye on.
It's, I think
Jim Sterling is a voice actor now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a fucking weird... when Podtoid, or I think it was when Podtoid was still around, maybe it was the Dismal Jesters, but all the cast members of Podtoid or the Dismal Jesters or whatever it was, Jim Sterling's podcasts, ended up as, like, characters in a game, like themselves.
Yeah, they're in Lisa.
Like, I guess it's fine, but it's fucking weird, and it's an indication of, like, the game's journalism and the games industry in America, at least, is weird and incestuous, and everybody knows each other and everybody's best friends. And it doesn't really, like, I don't think this is a huge issue that really, really, really matters. Like, I'm not crying over corruption in games journalism or anything.
I care about integrity.
But it is kind of like a giant fucking middle finger to the idea of journalistic integrity when all of your best friends are the people you're reporting on all the time.
Yeah. It's something that should definitely, like, people should be keeping an eye on this. People should be, there should be more disclaimers in like, reviews and such.
Yeah. So then it, I guess back to the Zoe thing, the more recent thing is that, Zoe Quinn, this completely unnotable human being who has almost literally nothing to do with video games and yet is somehow a video game celebrity for having a vagina and being yelled at, maybe. her ex-boyfriend got mad at her for being a horrible person because she is one, as far as I can tell. And he made this ridiculous, huge post outing her as a giant piece of shit.
Yeah. By the way, that post makes, even though like I'm on his side, I guess, that post does make him look kind of crazy.
He comes across as like, he's not as bad in the sense that he's not as villainous as she looks, but he's like a giant fucking wiener and a little bit of a baby and a little crazy for making that post. But it's all about how she cheated on him with at least five guys, all of whom are somehow related to the video games industry. And now she kept lying about it. And, so like some of the people she banged a guy at Kotaku while she was dating this other guy.
Yeah. And the guy who made Offspring Fling. I loved that game.
Oh, Kyle Pulver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He claims that was, I think like two or three of the names were given in that big post. And then some of them weren't actually given and people like internet detectived them out. And Kyle Pulver claims that he's not involved at all, that whoever was guessing guessed wrong. So supposedly that's not true, but I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
But she banged this guy from Kotaku, and people are getting their... Everybody's blown up about this, and they're all like just talking and talking about it, and people are getting their facts fucked up. And yeah, I don't know all the facts.
People are getting angry for like all sorts of different reasons, which is not helpful.
I don't really care. I'm actually just sort of glad that people are angry about this just because, like, you I want to see this sort of idiot, this sort, like, cause she was, like, very pro women in gaming, which being pro women in gaming, at least theoretically, is fine. But, like, she was that social justice-y type who complains about misogyny and gaming and crap all the time. Meanwhile, she's fucking around on her boy. I don't know. She's a piece of shit. And I like seeing backlash to that sort of thing. I don't really care that the whole thing's a giant mess and everyone looks like an idiot. But so she banged this guy from Kotaku, and people are getting confused because they think she banged him and then he reviewed her game, which, as far as I can tell, isn't true. What did happen is she banged him, and I don't know the timeline, so I don't know if it was before or after, but he wrote about her game, kind of, a couple of times. But he didn't actually post like a 10 out of 10 review while she was fucking him. And she banged another guy who was a judge at some game jam she was a part of. And she banged one of Phil Fish's friends, and then Phil Fish went on a rampage on Twitter about how terrible and misogynist everyone is being. And then today, I think Phil Fish got doxxed.
Yeah, and deleted his Twitter account.
Yeah.
I've lost all respect for Phil Fish. Yeah. I don't think it's cool to post his bank statements online, though.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when I watched Indie Game, the movie, I was a little confused. Like, I was sort of on Phil Fish's side because I'd seen all this garbage about what a piece of shit Phil Fish is. And people would point to Indie Game, the movie, and be like, see what a fucking douche he is. And like, I felt kind of bad for him in that movie. And I definitely liked him more than the Super Meat Boy faggots. But
yeah, like the reason people hated Phil Fish was because people were being mean to him and he was being mean back. That was like what it was at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just started going crazy.
So I was sort of on his side.
When he came back post cancellation of Fez 2.
Yeah.
That's when he really lost it.
I was sort of on his side at first, but yeah, he's got some screws loose or something. Oh, and I guess Zoe may or may not have doxxed herself when all this shit started hitting the fan after that post from her ex-boyfriend. She may or may not have doxxed herself.
Yeah, like there's evidence to suggest that she was like making up a lot of the attacks that she claimed
were
being levied against her.
As far as I can tell, it's almost certain that she made up the initial, like, depression quest attacks from Wizard Chan, or at least blew them way, way out of proportion.
Yeah, which, like, no shit, Wizard Chan?
Yeah.
The board that is made especially for wizards, which is an anime joke term for 30-plus-year-old virgins.
Yeah.
Suffering from depression.
And I saw all these posts from Wizard Chan where they're like, I don't, like, we didn't do this, and as far as I can tell, and I don't even know why we would. And it doesn't even seem like something we're even capable of, because most of us would be like, because she was complaining about people like calling her parents or something. And they're like, most of us would be terrified to even do that. Because we're such fucking wieners. And then I guess her Tumblr got hacked days ago, but it was like some really stupid message about like being hacked by the leader of 4chan's V board. And it was all like obviously not something someone from 4chan would say. And it included like phone numbers, like her personal phone numbers and like phone numbers for her parents and stuff. But like, if you look up what those phone numbers are, they're actually like a motorcycle shop someplace. And like, that's not what they were. They were fake phone numbers. So she may have doxed herself. It's so dramatic, and it's hilarious to watch people argue about this stuff. And like, watching the people defending her is really funny. Like, sometimes I'll see somebody say like, yeah, she's a giant piece of shit, but like, you guys are going way overboard with this, which I can sort of that's an understandable position. I get that. Yeah. But then there are other people who are like this, who are like, leave Zoe alone. She's a brilliant person and I love her. And that stuff's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't see how you can be reading about all this stuff and be like, no, she's great. I love her. She's the best. She's a real piece of shit.
I think like JonTron, who he and Zoe were at. Did you hear about the Game Jam thing that like completely fell through because of like Mountain Dew sponsorship?
No.
That was a big story in itself that I won't really go into. JonTron was at a bunch of YouTube personalities, I think like Total Biscuit or whatever might have been at it. JonTron and Zoe Quinn were there at it, and they got into like kind of a half fight, and part of the big drama there was that like the management there wanted to film that fight and exacerbate it for drama. Yeah. Like basically it was a game jam that was going to be televised, and it turned into like reality TV, and the whole thing just fell through.
Okay.
And JonTron was tweeting of couple days ago, it was like, what, people are really getting this mad about Zoe Quinn? Dude, I met her, she's not that interesting.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know about that game jam thing. JonTron, if you don't know, he's like a YouTube celebrity guy who's related to video games. He was part of Game Grumps for a while, and then there's like a whole other drama bomb with that nobody really knows the details about.
That's like a drama bomb that is completely made up. Like, it's just like JonTron decided to move to New York because he wanted to.
I don't think
the fans were like, did you guys get into a fight?
I don't think that's true, that it's completely made up. Just nobody knows what the actual deal is, because I saw him, he commented on it not too long ago at some like panel at a convention or something about how he can't really talk about it, but he feels bad that he can't talk about it. And like, I forget what he actually said, but it alluded to the idea that the things that Aaron Ego Raptor has been saying about how John just wanted to move on and do other things are not true.
Oh, so I remember seeing some things like when he had left, Aaron had posted on like the subreddit or whatever, like, don't talk about John too much because he doesn't really want to be involved. And
yeah.
Then John came back
and he was like, no,
on the Reddit. And he was like, that's actually not true. I think he misunderstood. Yeah, it was because Aaron broke his copy of, or John broke Aaron's copy of a Drill Dozer.
Oh, okay. But anyway, so yeah, then John was on Twitter and he said, yeah, don't, this Zoe Quinn thing is ridiculous. She's not that interesting. She's not worth all of this. And, people started jumping on him, and then he said something. I couldn't find where he actually said it, but he said the word retarded to somebody, and people were jumping down his throat for using the R word.
That was earlier. He called PlayStation Now, which is like a streaming service, he said that's retarded because like the pricing system. And then somebody was like, don't use ableist words. And he was like, I'm sorry, I forgot you were retarded.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was just a big drama thing.
Okay. So then he posted a comic, like a web comic, where I think it's supposed to be Zoe Quinn getting banged by all games journalists and stuff.
That was Plebe Comics.
Yeah.
That.
And then there's a panel, like, everybody, like, oh God, I should have had it pulled up.
I have it. Hang on.
Like, they're banging. She's getting triple teamed or something in a panel. And
Phil Fish is fighting with, like, I guess the author, I think.
So what is it? What was that first panel? All I remember is Zoe Quinn getting triple teamed.
I linked you to it in the chat.
Okay. Look, idiot, you can't fucking defend the actions of someone who is emotionally manipulative, abusive, and as a giant hypocrite like Zoe. You don't fucking know shit. Shut up. Okay, so it's people fighting over, like, Zoe's getting triple teamed by all these people, and then there are two people fighting about the horrible things she did, and then how it's disgusting that people are talking about the horrible things she did. Then the next panel is JonTron saying, stop being retarded, guys. and then the third panel is someone screaming, ableist, fucking die in a ditch, you piece of shit. I know where you live, and I'm going to cut your throat. Trash heap. So JonTron.
Oh, yeah, that is a pile of five people. Count the heads. Come on.
Never
told me to say that.
A pile of five people?
With Zoe in it? Oh, that's, I guess it's six people because it's five dudes. So it's like,
oh wow, okay. I didn't see, like, the one dude is like coming out of the other dude's butt. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that head, but I still only see. Oh no, okay. Now I see another one. Yeah, okay. So
they're having a big cuddle puddle.
Anyway, so JonTron posts a link to this comic, and then people were jumping all over him for that. Like, he's the worst piece of shit for posting this. How could you? You're a giant piece of shit. And then Anthony Birch again made a post about how, oh, so I guess JonTron's a giant piece of shit now. And he was being serious. Like, this is his thing now, is he denounces people. This is what Anthony Birch does now.
I think Movie Bob did that too. And that's disappointing because Movie Bob's sometimes a really cool guy.
I don't know anything about Movie Bob, but I just, this whole thing is hilarious to me. And I really love it because it makes people, like, it's sort of, this whole thing is sort of outing people as being idiots. Like, Anthony Birch looks like the biggest moronic piece of shit. He really just looks like a terrible person because he just keeps coming out denouncing people for things that, like, it just doesn't make any sense. And I've seen a lot of this lately, and it would be nice if, I don't care about the Zoe Quinn thing in particular, but it would be nice if this just doesn't die and ends up with a sort of split. Because the public face of video gaming right now, like the video games journalist industry has become more and more, let's all, diddle each other and cry together about how mean the world is. And I would love it if there was some sort of split down the middle and this ends up having to actually be addressed.
Yeah.
Because it's getting fucking disgusting to me. And it's just getting more and more like that. And I think it's because they all live in San Francisco and they all fuck each other.
Mm-hmm. I saw a post
the other day about the new Samus's new suit in Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah, the MMA fighter suit.
Is that the one with, like, the booty shorts?
Yeah.
So
the one that people don't understand is supposed to look like an MMA one.
I didn't understand that either. It just looks like she's wearing, like, a sports bra and shorts. I don't see how that has anything to do with MMA. But I don't really care either way. I don't care if it was, like, a bikini. Like, you don't have to like it, but to pretend that it's some sort of affront against anyone is completely retarded. And so to see people crying about that and not being called idiot babies drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was something about, I didn't even look into this one because it was Metal Gear Solid 5, the something about a box with a bikini.
Yeah, so at Gamescom they revealed new box tech. It was a pretty fun video. One of the things you can do is you can, like, flip your box up so that it's like you're standing in it sideways. And so the part that's the top is now the front. Or I guess technically it's the bottom if you're talking about real boxes. But the top in Metal Gear Solid terms is now the front. And that has stuff on it, one of them can be like a saluting soldier so you can trick people from a distance, and one of them is a girl in a bikini so that the soldiers will get all agitated and run up towards you. Man. You can also do that while you're lying down, and then you crawl out of the box and distracts people. Pretty fun. People got mad for essentially no reason.
Because there was a woman in a bikini.
Yeah.
That's insane.
The whole thing is about, like, aren't these guys stupid?
That's insane. It's for one thing, it's not like that mechanic is kind of new, but the idea, like the conceptually, it's really not new at all. Like Metal Gear Solid games have featured like posters of women in bikinis in lockers and porn mags that you can lay out to distract dudes. Yeah, books. Yeah. So it's not even like new for Metal Gear at all. It's just more of the same. And it's not misogynistic, you stupid fucks. Women actually wear bikinis sometimes, did you know? They do it in public even. And my favorite thing about all this like weird social justice-y bullshit is the horseshoe effect or whatever, where they've gone all the way around to the other side and now they're body shaming women. Like, it's a bad thing for a woman to show her body because that's somehow misogynistic because men might want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It's so stupid. And this stuff, it just keeps coming. It doesn't stop. It just keeps coming.
It's a pretty good indicator that they are just making things up.
There's a new thing like this every week, it seems. At least one. Some new story about how somebody's ruining video games by not crying.
You will now appreciate this because it hits close to home to you, I imagine, even though you don't actually do this. Having an anime avatar on Twitter, no longer acceptable.
Oh, boy.
Basically, I think Zoe Quinn did it, like Phil Fish did that. I think Ben Kachera originally like started it by making a joke about it.
What did
I saw Max Scoville do? Okay, so basically, like, people who had anime Twitter icons would, like, call out Zoe Twin or whatever, and she just respond like anime avatar, and that was her response. And Ben Kachera was like, you know, anime avatars are really like the fedoras of the internet. And then I think a Polygon writer stole that joke verbatim. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I guess I have mixed feelings about that, because on the one hand, I get what they're saying, and I think it's fine. Like, I think making fun of dudes in fedoras with neckbeards and stuff is so played out at this point that I just don't want to hear it anymore. It's not funny, but I get it. I get that most of the people who wander around with neckbeards and fedoras are fucking horrible dorks or whatever, and it's funny to make fun of them. I get it. But at the same time, if you're like arguing with someone on the internet and your response is, oh, you have a fedora or, oh, you have an anime avatar, like, to me, you look like the idiot.
Yeah, fucking Max Scoville, he made a tweet that prompted me unfollowing him the other day. It used to be so hard to see like pictures of anime characters. Now all you have to do is say something nice about a woman on the internet.
Oh, good
and
one.
Get a bunch of them.
Yeah, that has nothing to do, like, so that's what bothers me, is that someone will be making an argument, and it might be a shitty argument that could be easily dismantled, but rather than destroy them with your argument, you'll just be like, oh, they have an anime avatar, which to me just looks like you can't argue against what they're saying.
Oh, and I didn't see this one because I had unfollowed him, but then Max Scoville tweeted a picture that was yo at JonTron, and it's just a picture of him in his bathroom giving a middle finger sideways to his camera.
What a cool dude.
Where his middle finger is right over his toilet.
See, that's I kind of like Max Scoville too. And so it's like a virus that's spreading. I guess it's gone viral, this social justice-y stuff. Like, and I think the reason it's spreading so much with games journalists and stuff is because they are all friends, and it gets to a point where if I want to continue to be friends with this person, I can't disagree with them on this because they will scream at me, call me a misogynist, and tell everyone on Twitter that I'm a horrible piece of shit and you shouldn't like me anymore. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, and I don't know necessarily think it's this explicit in their minds, like that's actually what they're thinking. But then a person who might disagree with some crazy thing one of their friends said won't disagree out loud with it. And then it sort of like starts permeating them because they keep encountering it from more and more of their friends on various levels. And eventually they become, they're on board. They've been indoctrinated. And it just, it keeps spreading. And I hate it. I hate it. It's so terrible. Andrew W.K., this is completely unrelated. Well, it's very slightly related. Andrew W.K. is someone I follow on Twitter. And I think I'm going to unfollow him soon. But Andrew W.K. is, he's got to be stopped. And not because he's doing anything that matters. It's because all he does is talk about partying. And he's become like a parody of himself. I have a tweet of his pulled up that says, "I wish more women were in charge of more things. Hashtag female party power. Hashtag mom." Which is really funny to me. And all of his tweets about partying have nothing to actually do with partying. Like, his thing now is to just mention something that sounds good and then somehow make it into partying. Like, I don't know, giving money to charity is also partying. Or let's see what else he's tweeted recently. He tweets some really stupid shit. He tweets a lot of garbage that would be like something a woman would say on Facebook, like party tip. This life is our chance to unleash as much joy onto the world as we can. I could see a lot of girls retweeting that because it's like just a generic, stupid positive message. Party tip: gentle people are stronger than tough guys. That's literally not true. What else has he said recently? Trying to find where you parked your car counts as partying, along with a picture of him in a parking garage. We can't save the world in a bad mood. Hashtag power of positive partying. Hashtag stay strong. Party tip: we must be brave enough to withstand the forces working to crush our spirit. They want us to feel overwhelmed and afraid. Don't. Party tip: party snack. Crumble potato chips, then soak in butter, white pepper, and hot sauce. Spread on cookie sheet. Bake till brown. Party tip: party challenge. Can you make it through the rest of today without saying anything bad about anyone? Yeah, woo! Party!
Party time.
This is his whole feed. Party tip: never play it safe when it comes to living your dream. You must do what you were born to, even against the odds. Take risks. These have nothing to do with partying.
I guess he's running out.
Party tip: obey the party god. He wants you to party hard, and he wants you to be really, really happy.
Party tip: look inside me.
Party tip: don't give up.
You know, for as much as Jim Sterling will occasionally slip into some weird stuff relating to like social justice that I can't agree with.
Yeah.
He does a pretty good job of like his coverage of this the recent matter on Twitter was basically like this, like I don't like that people are jumping to conclusions and I'd rather just wait it out, and games journalism isn't like a giant corporate industry like you think it is.
I saw something he said, but
Jim Sterling occasionally bothers me, but he's actually kind of moderate on a lot of these issues.
He bothers me because I know that, like, if he did a Dismal Jesters today and he talked about this whole thing, I know like 90% of what he would say about it would be wow, look, like, he'd be making fun of people for being upset about people a woman has slept with, which is part of it. That's part of what some people are mad about. But there's so much more to what's been going on. And that would, I guarantee fucking you, that would be what he would focus on, is that you're all idiots for being upset about who a woman has slept with.
Mm-hmm.
Which, even if that was the only thing anybody cared about, it's not that they're upset about who a woman has slept with. It's that they're upset about a woman cheating on her boyfriend with five guys. After saying that if you cheat on someone and then sleep with them without telling them that you've cheated on them, that that's literally rape. That's something that she said. And then she did it to her boyfriend. Which, so by her own definition, she's a rapist. So that would be enough for it to be reasonable to think she's a shitty person. But I guarantee you that I fucking guarantee you that's what he would do if he was going to talk about that. That's how he handles these things. He gets really disingenuous and he strawmans. People don't like it when you refer to logical fallacies anymore, and I get it. But I also, it's another one of those things like anime avatar. Like if you call something a straw man now, people will be like, oh, wow, I bet you wear a fedora.
Yeah.
But that's what he does. That's what he does when these things kind of things come up. I still think he's funny. And if he was still doing Podtoid or the Dismal Gestures, I'd still be listening to it. But whenever he gets onto this kind of a subject, I just don't give a shit about anything that he says because it's all garbage.
Yeah. Man, his new podcast is so weird.
I haven't even checked it out. When you told me what it was, that it's like a YouTube thing where they pretend to be...
Well, it is a real podcast, but just I don't have like the webpage bookmarked because I think it's like a weird link, but it's on YouTube now because the episodes are only like 25 minutes long.
What was it called? Like Shark Fight Fuckfest or something?
Fist Shark Marketing, because they're pretending to be a marketing team for celebrities.
And it's like when they used to pitch ideas to Jonathan Holmes, but they're pitching them to, or about Willem Dafoe, but they're just pitching ideas to celebrities.
Yeah, they're just pitching them to each other.
Yeah, but like four celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Just like, I'm really sick of Kevin Sorbo asking me if I want to go down to the train tracks and look for Pornog. And you know, that's funny to an extent.
Oh, Bames, party tip. Becoming an adult isn't about giving up what you enjoyed as a child. Becoming an adult is about becoming a super child.
Now that's what I call a party.
I think the greatest thing about Andrew WK's party thing, that all he does is talk about partying, but it's not actually about partying at all, is that it all stems from his one hit. He had a couple of popular songs, but his one hit, Party Hard, which was that in the 90s or the very early 2000s?
I don't actually know.
But whenever it was, it's fucking old. It's really fucking old now, and he's still just constantly talking about partying hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all anybody cares about him for.
Oh, it's from 2001.
Okay. Party tip, when it feels impossible to stay positive is when it's most important that we do. Okay.
You have to be... Party tip, be an adult is the same as being the child who is not a child.
Party tip, you do have what it takes.
Party.
<Yeah. laughs> Woo! Party tip, the most precious thing in life are usually the ones we take most for granted. Don't overlook what really matters. Beer bong!
Great party. Everybody.
And so he retweeted somebody tweeting to him, my 8-year-old son just asked me, can we listen to some Andrew WK on the way to school? Seems this hashtag party is starting early. Wow, you're so cool, Andrew WK. 8-year-olds love you.
What a weird kid.
He tweeted a picture of the Ninja Turtles and he said, we can learn a lot from these party animals. he's so dumb. He's a weird fucking guy anyway. Partying in my...
All I know is that he does party things and he like bleeds from his nose.
Yeah. Which is like the cover of the album that Party Hard was on, I think. So that's from like 2001 too, the him bleeding from the nose thing. Party tip, when things seem the most hopeless and dark, we're being tested to see if we'll give up on the world and each other. Be strong. Like, he's just putting party tip in front of, like, shit that dumb girls with office jobs write on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm partying in my bedroom and about to eat a large amount of unique clear mint candies. Oh, Bames.
These parties.
In more people being crybaby faggots, but not in relation to the games industry news, Have you ever heard of Free Thought blogs? I might have even mentioned them on the show before.
It rings a bell, but it might be because you've mentioned them on the show before.
Freethoughtblogs.com is a website with all these different bloggers, and they're all giant, gaping, pained vaginas. Several of them are like atheists. They're part of this atheism plus thing that I think I mentioned at one point.
Yeah, I went to the freethoughtblogs.com, and the first thing I saw was Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talking about Ferguson.
So, atheism plus is this thing where like a bunch of atheists who are also pussies decided that atheism isn't enough because atheism just means not believing in God. And they want to rally together behind something. So they created atheism plus. So it's atheism plus social justice. So it's atheism plus crying about anything that ever happens to anyone who could possibly be considered a minority by any criteria. So they're all a bunch of giant babies. And basically what they do is accuse people of being misogynist and racist and stuff all the time. So somebody on there posted a blog post called "A Jar Thread, Aren't Young Women Like So Annoying?" And it says, "If linguistic patterns are any indicator, if you want something to be incredibly popular and eventually spread to every subset in society, gear it towards young women. Despite the fact that young women are trendsetters, however, almost anything that is associated with them is generally considered not as good as the young or older male equivalent." That sounds like dubious logic to me to begin with, but fine. Compiling an exhaustive list of things that people tend to put down because they are too closely associated with femininity and or feminine youthfulness would be both exhausting and depressing. Taking a moment to ponder if there are any good reasons to put down certain things and not others, and if our reasons are not as based on personal preference as we might want to believe, however, is an approachable goal. You just might be buying into the hatred of the feminine if you criticize the items to the left much more so than the items on the right, if at all." I'm gonna post the link to this in the chat so you can see all the terms that she's talking about. So she's got a two-column list. What?
Is it like ponies or what?
Well, hold on. She's got a two-column list here. On the left is a list of girly things, and on the right is a list of manly equivalents.
I'm dying at the first one.
Yeah, so the first one is Facebook/Twitter, and the manly equivalent is Google+. So if you talk trash about Facebook and Twitter and you love Google+, you might be a misogynist.
Oh, where's Jeff Foxworthy for this
one? Yeah. The next one is sleepovers, and then the manly equivalent is LAN parties.
LAN parties.
Then duck face and bicep flex. So if you're into dudes straight flexing, but you hate it when girls do duck face.
You hate it when dudes do duck face.
MySpace angles and cock shots. Those are the same. Those are like gendered equivalents. MySpace angles, meaning like taking a picture of yourself from way up high so you don't look as fat as you actually are. And cock shots, just being pictures of dicks. Yeah, the same thing.
I think a cock shot is specifically like taking it from below so it looks bigger.
Oh, is that true? I've never heard that. She's probably right. It's because of misogyny that I haven't heard it. Selfies, pictures with hot chicks. Gossip magazines, gaming/sports magazines.
Sitting down with a copy of Nintendo Power.
It's really funny. Like, none of these things are quite equivalent. Like, gossip magazines are literally about gossiping about celebrities, whereas gaming and sports magazines are about gaming and sports.
Yeah, like, they're like about topics.
Yeah, you can hate any of those things or all of those things, or you can love any of those things or all of those things. But to say that the only reason you dislike gossip magazines and like sports magazines is because you're a misogynist and you dislike feminine things is ridiculous. Plus, you're making it sound like it's feminine to gossip.
Yeah.
So like that's just what women do, is they're catty to each other, and that's fine, and we should accept that, and we should we should be more positive towards women. Tumblr/Pinterest versus Reddit.
You missed celebrity worship versus sports star and CEO worship.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You know who's really dreamy? Billionaire entrepreneur Tadashi Tanaka.
Tumblr/Pinterest or Reddit. Chick flicks versus action movies. Couldn't possibly like those because your interests are different. Yeah.
pole dancer versus gas station attendant. Hey, you know, everybody's just working for a living, man. Why discriminate? Man,
we're all whores here.
The royal wedding versus the Super Bowl. 50 Shades of Grey versus mainstream porn.
I don't even know what mainstream porn is.
I don't either. Bubblegum pop versus generic dude rock. Crying at work versus temper tantrums at work.
Both of those are for girls. Yeah.
Who's what dudes are having temper tantrums at work? And they're this, they're like the same thing, basically. Crying at work. Crying at work is a women's thing, though, by the way. This is you, someone complaining about misogyny, claiming that crying at work is a girl thing. It's so funny. I don't know. Like, I don't have like an overarching point for this. I just thought it was really funny. Like, this is dead serious. There's no irony here at all. She really thinks that she just like did a thing by writing this. Everybody's losing it. Everybody's becoming completely fucking retarded. It's driving me nuts. Robin Williams is dead.
Yeah, Robin Williams is dead. I don't know. I like Jumanji enough. Like, I'm not a Robin Williams fan by any stretch of the word, but it does suck that a guy who is like this super upbeat comedian turns out to be super depressed and in crippling debt, and he hangs himself.
I didn't know about the crippling debt. I guess
Yeah, because his wives took all his money.
Yeah, well, I saw all this outpouring of love for Robin Williams, and it was pissing me off because, as far as I could tell, before Robin Williams died, nobody gave a flying fuck about Robin Williams, and I don't really blame him.
Like, the popular thing to do is to make fun of him.
Yeah,
for being silly.
And I don't really blame people either, because I liked Robin Williams as an actor, but as a comedian, I thought he was just obnoxious. Like, I liked him in things, like when he would play like a serious role, he was good as an actor. But I saw, after his death, Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show did like a little tribute thing where he talked about the death and how sad it was and stuff. And he very briefly did an impression of Robin Williams where he got up from behind the desk and just spazzed out for a minute and said a bunch of things.
Climb into the audience.
He didn't, because it was very brief, but he just like moved around a lot and said a bunch of things that practically sounded like gibberish because he wasn't really saying anything.
Just rolling around on the floor.
And then like the audience, it was a funny moment because like the audience laughed and it was supposed to be like this heartfelt thing. Like, but the, he does the impression because it's like a bit, like a joke. So of course, they're meant to laugh normally when he does it, but because he did it during this heartfelt, sad moment, it seemed really inappropriate that the audience laughed. But also, like, that impression is meant to belittle Robin Williams. I'm sure if you asked him, Jimmy Fallon would say, no, it's a tribute, his doing this impression. But the way he does the impression makes Robin Williams look like a fucking idiot. It's like distilling him down into his stupidest traits. But then he did it as a tribute. And then, as, like, the end of his tribute, he shows a clip from The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson with Robin Williams' first appearance. And it is the most obnoxious fucking thing. He's sitting there being interviewed, and he's just doing his Robin Williams thing where he just manically just says things that have nothing to do with anything. Like, his approach to comedy was essentially just to keep talking as fast as possible, changing the subject so fast that you don't understand what he's doing, and then hoping that you'll laugh at his silly voices. So he's doing that. Then he gets up out of his chair and he goes out into the audience and he starts fucking with the cameraman. Like, the cameraman's going to get so mad at me. Oh, like, he gets really close to the camera and then he ducks and he moves to the side and stuff. Ah, he can't keep track of me. Whoa. And then he goes out into the audience and he like talks to a woman, for a second. Like, oh, well, you're a woman. No, I'm Robin Williams. Oh, but there's no substance at all to any of what he's doing. He's just running around like a child, all hopped up on caffeine.
Yeah.
And just making funny noises and doing stupid voices. It's really obnoxious and not funny or endearing at all. And that's what he was. Like, I watched an Inside the Actor's Studio with him once, and it was like, it was hard to watch because he started engaging with the audience at one point, but all he's doing is just flitting from one terrible impression to another, where he's just doing like, ah, oh, now I'm a Jewish lady, and oh, now I'm a Indian guy who runs a 7-Eleven. But there's no transition at all. There's no train of thought. He's just going from one voice to another and just saying things.
Yeah.
That was his approach to comedy. He didn't tell jokes. He didn't have any commentary on anything. He would just talk really, really fast in different goofy voices and hope that you were still laughing. Like, it was like the most desperate bid for attention ever. And everybody would make fun of him for it because that's what it was. And then he dies. Oh, by the way, he just had a TV show that nobody watched. And if
I didn't even know that.
If you heard anybody talk about it, it would have been to say, like, who gives a fuck? So then he kills himself, and all of a sudden, everybody's bawling. Oh, my childhood. Oh, Robin Williams was a great man and a hero.
Remember Mork and Mindy?
Yeah. And I mean, I've done this before with other celebrities when they die. I don't believe you. You're a liar. And it's really disgusting the way you react to these things. It also ties back to Zoe Quinn because she tried to use it to promote Depression Quest.
Mm-hmm. I saw Ghostface Killa. I forget. Oh, yeah. So, like, part of, you know, when Robin Williams killed himself, it was at, like, the same time as that Ferguson stuff was going down. So a bunch of, like, Tumblrinas started talking about, like, how can you be sad about Robin Williams when something else that I care about is happening at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Black people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great when, when anybody says, like, I don't understand how you can care so much about this thing when this other worse thing is happening. Yeah. I guess what?
Let's just find the one worst thing in the world and then only talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. I can care about more than one thing at a time.
But yeah, one of the comments on that was like, come on, man. Ghostface Killa did a shout out to Robin Williams. Yeah, why can't you?
It's so fucking weird because so many of these people would have made fun of him. And you could say, like, oh, but that's just friendly ribbing. Like, yeah, I only make fun because I love. But it's bullshit. It's bullshit. You didn't care about Robin Williams?
Mm-hmm.
The only level on which I can kind of understand caring, and I think I said the same thing when Michael Jackson died, is that I just didn't see it coming. Like, I never would have considered, oh, Robin Williams might die soon. Because he's somebody who's always been around since I was a little kid. So it's just like a fixture of life is that Robin Williams exists. It was sort of the same way for me when Michael Jackson died. It was like, oh, that's weird that life won't have Michael Jackson in it anymore.
Yeah, like really the real sad part about this is just that this guy that everybody thought was super funny turns out to have killed himself, which is a bummer.
Yeah. It is kind of weird that I guess that he killed himself. And I haven't been reading into, I don't know if any more information has been released. I guess he asphyxiated.
Did he hung himself with a belt.
Okay. I was wondering about that. Cause like, I guess I could only figure that he must have hung himself, but aren't you supposed to try to break your neck when you hang yourself? I guess if you're hanging yourself, I guess when you hang somebody else, the point is to break their neck. But when you're hanging yourself, you just choke yourself to death.
And I mean, it's kind of hard. So give him, maybe it was only the first time he's ever done it.
It must have sucked for whoever was the last to see him alive.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I made that joke on Whiskey Boys was about, that I got that really bad reaction to. That was embarrassing for me.
What was that?
They were talking about, like, somebody used Robin Williams on Whiskey Boys.
Oh, yeah, stretching out his
podcast. I completely forgot. Yeah. Somebody was like promoting their chiropractic service or whatever at JP's radio station.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he had to stretch his neck out himself. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And they freaked out.
That's because John Paul is a giant paranoid baby. Podwar. He really is. He's driving me nuts with this stuff. Like, he used to do a podcast where he talked about coming in yogurt and coming in jars and just all kinds of like blue material, and
now he does, now that he works in radio, he does the anime show where he censors swear words. Mm-hmm. He censors like the F word. Like he'll play promos for other shows and he'll censor the swears in the promos.
He censors the F word in his intro.
Yeah. What a fucking weird baby. I really think there's some strange disconnect in his head because I guarantee you, you will not get more listeners because your show doesn't have the F word in it. Not when you're talking about podcasts. I told him that's not why the radio censors swear words, is because otherwise people will stop listening. It's because it's partially like an FCC thing, I think. And it's partially
the network regulations.
And it's partially because of sponsors, but like, If they could have, like, somebody like Howard Stern would have been saying the F word all the time when he was on radio, when he was at his biggest, and nobody would have, not literally nobody, but like the radio station wouldn't have been like, oh no, we can't have him saying swears. People don't like swears. I mean, the people listening to Howard Stern were not like, ugh, I like Howard, but thank goodness he doesn't say the F word.
Wash that mouth out.
Yeah. That's not why they censor swear words. And it's just such a weird baby thing to do. But I still love Ryan, his co-host Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan's the best.
Yeah, I hope that he takes over the show someday.
Well, when it's all gone, he'll be the only one left.
Race war. Oh, yeah, and I guess Robin Williams was a joke thief.
I didn't actually know that.
I had heard that. I didn't know much about it. But, of course, that's not something anybody's going to talk about when he's dead.
Yeah. Whatever.
What else happened? Ferguson? Everybody? Yeah, Ferguson. Everybody in Ferguson caught
like
fire?
There's not a lot of room for discussion on that. It was just like, yeah, it was bad.
I haven't looked into it that much. I've seen, like, I guess some black kid got shot and then riots happened. And I really don't know, like it could absolutely just be that the cops were just terrible people and that they're racist. And
I could give you the rundown. Like, so this guy, Mike, whatever his name, he was like a teen, I guess. And he got shot by a cop man, which I get like potentially he may have been being a little aggressive, but he definitely didn't have a gun. And I'm pretty sure that shooting him to death was pretty unwarranted on the cop's part.
Well, okay. I've heard varying things, though. People are saying all kinds of things about what happened and claiming to be witnesses. Like, I heard that he got that he had his hands up and he got shot in the back. I've also heard...
The autopsy reports showed that it was pretty likely that he was completely not resisting.
See, again, that's not what I heard. What I had heard is that people were saying he got shot in the back, and then the autopsy report showed that, no, he didn't. He didn't get shot in the back.
Really? I heard it the exact opposite.
And like I said, some people are saying he got shot in the back with his hands up. Some people are saying he went for the cop's gun. So I don't know what happened. It could be racist cops killing a black kid because they hate black kids. It could be totally justified because he went for their guns and they were worried about their own lives and the lives of other people. It could be some weird thing in between or some convoluted bullshit. I really don't care. And honestly, no matter what happened, rioting over it is fucking retarded.
Yeah, rioting is, well, really it was a protest at first and probably there were some pretty angry people, but yeah, like they didn't need to be as angry as they were, I'm sure, but whatever. They were mad. They were under the impression, at least, that this kid had gotten murdered. So they were protesting, and the cops went way overboard. Like, I feel like that's not exactly a controversial statement to say that bringing in tanks and tear gas and rubber bullets at that stage of a riot is crazy.
Yeah, I just don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
I think that protesting is stupid. 90% of the time, like what did you hope to accomplish?
Well, I think what they wanted was, cause that guy seemed like he was not going to be brought to justice, at least like, or maybe people assumed that because it doesn't have a tendency of happening, but Yeah, I don't know.
Which is fine, except nobody really knew what happened yet. So they didn't really know if anybody needed to be brought to justice. And protesting isn't going to get him brought to justice.
Yeah. So what else happened in the news?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been, what has it been, like three weeks since I did a show? Adam Carolla is an idiot faggot.
Yeah, I haven't been paying attention to that at all.
I haven't really either, but he had his stupid fucking lawsuit against patent trolls or whatever. Ah, the pirate ship. Stupid Adam Carolla. So he's like, everybody give me money so I can save podcasting. I'm going to represent all of podcasting, and I'm going to save podcasting for us because I'm the king of podcasting. And he settled the lawsuit that he took everybody's money for, and he said, we're not going to back down. He settled it. So good job, Adam, you fucking fag. I don't know what else has been happening. I watched Hanamonogatari.
Cool. They made the new Silent Hill game coming out.
I don't give a fuck. I refuse to talk about it. Fuck you, idiots.
Really?
Yeah, fuck you.
Why?
Because Silent Hill is a stupid bullshit game for faggots, and I do not give a shit about Norman Reedus.
You don't care about Koji Pro?
No, not at all.
Who's Norman Reedus, by the way?
He's the stupid celebrity that they're going to put in the new Silent Hill game.
Oh.
I do not care at all. I have nothing to say about that.
Well, that was the biggest thing that happened in the 3 weeks. So.
Yeah, that's true. You're probably right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else is going on. Oh, I got a couple. I got an email. Supposedly, I think from a friend of yours, from Mitchell Wagner. Do you know a Mitchell Wagner?
Mitchell Wagner.
Ash Cobalt?
Nope.
Okay, so I got this email. It's titled App Questions. Hey, Kyle. I'm Mitch Wagner.
Answer no.
I'm Mitch Wagner, parentheses, Ash Cobalt. I am emailing you to see if you could do me a big favor. I heard about the show from my friends Bames and Lion with Dolphin Hands.
Okay. Maybe he's one of Dolphin Hands Tiger's friends.
My brother has just launched an app for iOS called Masquerade. It's a location-based social media type app. It also has the aspect of anonymity to keep things interesting. I love the show and listen whenever I can. I was curious if you could mention it on the show, or maybe I could call in. I don't want this to seem like I'm just interested in the promotion of their app. Email me back for any questions or comments on the idea. Thank you, Mitch Wagner. So you don't know this guy?
I mean, I don't. Nothing's coming up when I hear the name.
What a bizarre thing to email me about.
But like, I mean, maybe I've met him. I probably have met him, and I'm being a jerk. But yeah.
I don't know anything about this app. I just Googled Masquerade app, and I found a YouTube video called Masquerade App iOS Launch Video. Okay, so it's all just music and pictures. I guess I can post the link in the chat. I think I left the S in. Whatever, you guys can figure it out. So a screenshot of the app just floats by. It says create post at the top. There's an add photo button. Then it says school post. Then the actual post says, can anyone help me with trig identities? I'm in the library! ! And at the bottom of the screen, it says post anonymously in your vicinity. Control your content. Now it's just showing a screenshot that doesn't seem to show anything, really. Showing 7 new posts near you and something about Bryan Cranston. Share images. Just picked up my new Dotsumi. Anyone want to go for a ride? HD photos. Look at this awesome Ferrari parked in Miami. Self-destructing posts. Range control. Okay, so like, it's like Twitter, but you can control how far away people can be and still be able to read it. Better with friends, even though anonymity is apparently the whole point. Okay, yeah, so it's just a weird attempt to cash in on social media, I guess.
So it's like, it's a Twitter with a range limiter?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I can't see myself using that.
I only want people within 5 miles of me to be able to read my tweets.
So it was just he wanted us to plug this?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, he's looking for...
It's a little weird. Yeah. But I guess if you're listening to this podcast and that sounds like something you'd be into...
Kill yourself.
Master Ray.
Kill yourself.
And kill yourself.
I've only gotten anything even remotely like this one other time that I can think of, and it was
I'm Kilo.
I'm Kilo, and he gave me money to do it, and he wanted me to mention a podcast expo that he was going to. And it was really like it was a like in Nevada or something or Arizona. It was also strange, but he also paid me for it. The idea of trying to use like I've never sought out sponsorship. I don't play ads. I don't even play other people's podcast promos. The idea of trying to use me to market an iOS app. I don't even own a cell phone. It's really
clearly
funny
this
to me.
Means we're getting real big.
Yeah.
So this gets to be the one that gets off for free because he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, if you want to market your social media time bomb app, no, we won't do it.
Yeah, fuck you, Mitchell.
No, weirdo. I was telling him that he's the one that gets off for free because he did it first.
Yeah, but still fuck him.
Oh, whatever.
And then I also got a Facebook message from someone named Valentus Radzinskis. Hello, Kyle. I'm just a random listener that want to know your opinion on this video. By the way, you're awesome at what you do. Bye. And it's this video. This video is not new at all. I've seen it before.
The rent is too damn high.
No, but that would be pretty good. I'm pasting the link to this in the chat. Yeah, the video is called GOAT, GO.A.T. and your mom, M.O.M. Quack like a duck. It's a man in like a banana hammock wearing some kind of flag as a cape and socks, and he's like the front man for a band and somebody's shitty backyard barbecue or something. And this is the hilarious song that they play while he thrusts his dick at the crowd.
Quack like a duck when you suck. Can you buck like a horse when we fuck? Can you take every inch off your butt? Can you shit on my chest for good luck? Can you quack?
Okay, and then a man
like
comes
a duck
up
when you suck.
While this guy is singing this awesome song about quacking like a duck, another man comes up in like a punk rock vest, like denim jacket that he tore the sleeves off of, and starts playing with the guy's dick. So.
Can you part of my balls? Then,
yeah, it is kind of funny. The guy's like playing with his dick, like bouncing it up and down. And then he looks out at the crowd and kind of shrugs like, what the fuck? But you're
it's
the
a
one.
Living.
You're, yeah. But you're the one who wandered up and started playing with this guy's dick. I've seen this video before. Like it's really strange and I guess kind of funny, but I don't know what, like, I don't understand, I guess, what people, this is like the time I got linked to a video that was like, it was like a challenge to see how long you could go without laughing. And it was just like some,
it was like a stormtrooper, like pelvic thrusting or whatever.
No, it was like, it was like an Asian ad for exercise equipment. And it just like, it showed all these like CG people crotch thrusting, but it was like, they were supposed to be like using this exercise equipment. It was really dumb. And I don't know what people expect when they link me to this kind of thing.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Like, whoa, this is crazy. He's like, he's barely dressed and he's talking about quacking like a duck. And it's not even like he's really trying to sing. I mean, he's just going, oh, can you quack like a duck when we fuck? And well, then another dude touches his dick. Yeah, well, this is like a Tom Waits song. It does. If you're not looking at the video and you just listen to it, this sort of sounds like a Tom Waits song.
Can you stick your whole tongue up my butt? Can you shit on my chest? Good luck.
There we go. You put a good spin on it. Now I can appreciate it for its humor value. But I just don't know what people want from me when they link me to this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I got nothing, man. Like, it's pretty wacky. I don't know.
Nothing else happened in news.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And I haven't been coming up with any real gut buster jokes.
Yeah. My friend Devin that I said had wanted to come over here. He might appear on the show next time I do one, maybe. That was also part of his message, was that he'd like to be on the show via Skype if I do a show before September 7th, which I'm doing one now, but I didn't tell him until like 20 minutes before I went live.
Because September 7th is when bomb drops.
I think that must be when he's going back to the Ukraine. But so if I do another one in the next 2 weeks, he might be on.
Yeah.
That'd be
interesting. They were making a Metal Gear remake. Did you hear about that?
No.
It was like a fan remake.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't hear about it, but.
Yeah, and like, it got canned, and apparently, like, they had said, like, okay, we got the okay from Konami. Now, like, and so now we're gonna tell you that this exists because we're not afraid of a C&D. So we need like people to help work on this. And then eventually it turned out like not all of Konami had given it the okay. And the people who had given it the okay, like weren't authorized or whatever. So like it ended up getting canned cause they weren't allowed. And this was after they had gotten David Hayter involved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. So was this going to be like, were they remaking the first Metal Gear, like the very first one?
Yeah, they were remaking Metal Gear.
Were they like remaking it in the style of the newer games, like going full 3D with it and everything? Or
I haven't actually seen any of the gameplay stuff, but I can't imagine they were going to make it full 3D. Let me see.
I imagine that'd be like the only reason to get, like it'd be really weird to me to do like a 2D Metal Gear remake with, I don't know what, like a PlayStation 1 level graphics, but 2D graphics, and then still get David Hayter involved to do.
That's voice weird. Acting. I'm watching this presentation trailer and it's actually just like Peace Walker cutscenes. Like it looks like just, well, like worse because it's not Yoji Shinkawa, but just like that style where it's all like concept art in a cutscene. That's strange. Yeah, I guess maybe they didn't release any gameplay.
I just Googled Metal Gear.
It was in 3D, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just Googled Metal Gear Remake, and the first article that comes up says fan-made Metal Gear Remake lead discusses cancellation, and the like screenshot at the top shows on the right a screenshot from the 2D Metal Gear, and on the left, the same map rebuilt in 3D. So,
So that's my research. Skills.
Well, that could have been kind of neat. Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time.
Sucks that they didn't think it through.
It's not the first time that somebody has tried to do this, though. It's the first time they've gotten David Hayter involved, as far as I know. But several people have been like, I'm going to remake the original Metal Gear in 3D. And it's never happened.
Well, Kojima is a tease anyways that always tweets about like, hey, you know, maybe I'll remake Metal Gear or Metal Gear Solid 1 with that new Fox engine of mine. But he's never going to.
If he were to do that, I would rather see him remake the original Metal Gear, I guess.
Yeah.
There are plenty of things you can complain about with like the Twin Snakes, but Metal Gear Solid has already been remade once. And I think it was, in certain respects at least, an improvement. Like,
Yeah, and it works fine. Like, Metal Gear 1 has, like, some usability issues. Not on, like, a technical standpoint, but just that game's very obtuse. So that is more fitting of a remake.
Yeah, and as ridiculous as the later Metal Gear games are, the first one is kind of even more ridiculous. Like, I could see them fleshing it out and making it fit more, kind of.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. I would potentially play that. I'd probably have to buy a new, like a PS4 or something to play it, because I assume that's what it would be released on if they did it. But
well, if it's on the Fox engine, they can put it on PS3.
Yeah, but I can't, like, unless it's been in development and they just never mentioned anything and it's coming out.
Oh, well, yeah. Like, if they make it in the future, then certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's getting annoying. I'm going to have to buy one of them real consoles that's not a Wii U at some point.
I wonder, I haven't looked into numbers or anything, but I wonder how the adoption of the new consoles is going. Like, obviously, tons of people have bought them, but I wonder if you had the raw numbers and compared it to when the last console generation came out, if it's more or less. Because I feel like console gaming is sort of kind of dying a little bit, and despite how long the last cycle was or whatever, I feel like people were still... There were still a lot of people who were like not, they were kind of apathetic to the idea of the new consoles coming out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was for a while. I'm still kind of on the position that we didn't really need that as soon as we got it. But I mean, whatever, works fine. Because like definitely more people are getting into PC gaming because that's becoming more viable and. Like, and just better compared to some consoles in some respects.
And there's becoming and less of a difference.
Also, the market's expanding by itself, so it might even out.
And there's becoming less and less of a difference between PC gaming and console gaming. Like, once upon a time, it was true that in terms of, like, hardware power or whatever, you were better off going with the PC, but the experience was completely different.
Yeah, like, now, literally, the only reason there's exclusives is because companies are getting, like, paid off by Microsoft.
Yeah. It is becoming true that the only exclusives and exclusives are really the only real difference between PC gaming and console gaming, aside from the fact that on a PC you can potentially have even more technically impressive games.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas once upon a time, like, most games on consoles weren't available on PC and it was a completely different experience. And most games on PC couldn't even be played with a controller, whereas now almost all of them have support for, like, an Xbox controller or whatever.
Yeah, and there's also, like, hardware has definitely become more universal,
yeah.
Where it's like, you know, PCs in the 90s didn't have the VFX chip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now the consoles are essentially PCs inside. So.
God, I love it at, like, E3 and Gamescom when all the demos, like, every now and then one will, at the Microsoft booth, will crash to a Windows 7 desktop. So, like, they're not even using Windows 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I might be out of stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch any animes?
Yeah, I did, but I feel like whenever I bring up the animes, like... nobody wants to actually hear about it.
That is true.
I watched a few more. I watched, let's see, what did I watch? I watched Hyoka.
Oh, yeah. Which, I watched Hyoka.
It's sort of kind of like a kind of a detective show. But,
yeah.
But really, it's just about some high school kids, and one of them is just, like, pretty good at figuring things out. But he doesn't want to. He doesn't like doing it, but there's a girl who always makes him do it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that show a lot. It was really pretty too. Is that I'm starting to learn about these things. Was that Kyoto Animation?
I think so. Yeah, I looked it up on Wikipedia.
Their shows
certainly looks like KyoAni.
Their shows usually look really, like, the animation is really good.
They're usually like 8 to 10 weeks ahead on episodes, so, which is not super common in anime. So I guess they have a lot of time to polish stuff.
I think they did that Beyond the Boundary, Kyoka no Kanata or something like that that
they
I watched. That
Kaon and Chunibyo.
Yeah. Yeah, their shows usually look really good. I've also seen them get criticized for all their characters looking the same, which I can sort of see, but I mean, it doesn't really seem like they're any worse about that than any other anime.
Yeah. Producers. Really, the thing that I see them getting criticized for is being the new age Baby Moe production studio.
Maybe.
Which is mostly because they made K-On! And they made Clannad.
Clannad is one I have not watched and probably won't watch because I can't get past what it looks like. I keep seeing people talking about how great it is, but...
It's the worst. It's the one of the worst animes I've watched.
I also watched... Had I watched Welcome to the NHK yet?
I feel like I first heard you talking about that on a Fightbait podcast. See, that's the problem. We're getting too incestuous. This is games industry sexism.
Pretty soon, I'm going to fuck... Ryan from the anime show, and things are just gonna get weird. I watched Welcome to the NHK, which John Paul from Whiskey Boys and a million other podcasts about anime that all have different names for no reason. He did a radio drama version of. That was a pretty good show. It's about a guy who doesn't go outside, except that he does a lot, but. He's, what do they call him? Hikikomoris?
Yeah, that sounds right.
He's a social shut-in. He doesn't go outside, and he's afraid of everyone, and his parents pay his rent, and he just sits around all day. And that's pretty much, that's the deal. And then some 17-year-old girl decides that she's going to save him from his Hikikomori lifestyle.
Yep.
And I watched Servant X Service.
I don't know that show.
The name of that show makes it sound like it's going to be like some weird show about like maids or something, but it's not. It's about a girl like a woman who has a ridiculous name. Like she has like a million first names and she's mad about it. And she blames some like public servant. who approved it. And so she decides to go into that field of work to try to track this person down and like give them a piece of her mind or something. It's a strange plot. So it's all about people working in like, I don't know what you would actually call it, some kind of public servant's office, like the DMV kind of thing. And it's a hilarious workplace comedy. Their boss is a robotic bunny rabbit he's actually a man, but he remote controls a robotic bunny rabbit to take his place at work because he's afraid of leaving the house and he's shy.
That's pretty cute.
Yeah. It's a pretty good show.
I watched one episode. I plan on watching more of Super Sonico. Have you seen that show?
I've also watched one episode. When John Paul brought it up on the anime show, I was complaining about what a fat fatty she is.
Yeah. That show's weird.
And you hate that she likes macarons or whatever.
Yeah, I hate that she likes bad cookies. I like that her boss wears a scary mask.
Yeah, he wears like a demon mask thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
And like, since I looked it up on like my anime list or whatever, that's just like, that's what he always wears. So it's not like he's just wearing it at the time. That's just his character design. I think that's pretty good.
Crafty Matt just said, I am 2 minutes into the Fightbait anime podcast and we have a clown joke. OJP, yeah, what the fuck happened to you? Which is hilarious to me coming from Crafty Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that saying Ryan died in a clown fire is the gayest fucking thing I've ever heard. But Crafty Matt, you are the man who signs off with monkey fucker.
Also, like, what happened to you, JP? That clown fire joke is... a rehashed like 2-3-year-old joke. So nothing happened to him.
Right. He's if anything, he's reverted to what he used to be like.
Regressing.
Yeah. But that's really funny coming from Crafty Matt, the dad of all dads. His dick fell off, didn't it? Replaced with a stinky pussy. That's true.
That's gross.
That's true. That is what happened. And he is a giant pussy now, but were we talking about Supersonico? Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I just didn't care. Like, I didn't care enough about it to watch another one. I watched Working with two exclamation points, also known as Wagnaria. I think that's like the name they released it under here, probably because there's something else called Working.
Yeah.
And that's about people working in a restaurant, like a family restaurant called Wagnaria.
That sounds cool.
And there's a girl who's she's androphobic. This is the second show I've watched with a girl who's androphobic in it. The first one was Kokoro Connect. I don't know if that's like a big thing in Japan, women being androphobic.
Well, they're so shy and they're scared of boys.
But it's specifically like, it's not that they're shy. It's like an actual phobia. Like they're afraid of men.
There's a character in Idolmaster who is an androphobe.
Yeah. I guess that
so
must
yeah,
be.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, Japan thing. I don't know. Because I'm sure there are androphobes in America, but I never ever hear about it.
Well, a lot of them call themselves feminists.
Yeah. The girl who's androphobic, as like a defense mechanism has taken to punching men whenever she gets too close to them. So that makes for hilarious slapstick comedy because every episode she's punching dudes.
Oh, there's this show Nichi Joe that I'm always hyping up on this podcast. There's this one character who's like a side character. I don't know her name. She has like red hair, I think, but her thing is that she's all Sundundre. And whenever she gets all like Sundundre embarrassed or whatever, like, it's not like I like you or anything. Yeah. She like pulls out a gun and shoots the person.
Oh.
Cause it's a cartoon, silly Azumanga show.
Oh no, now I'm never going to watch it.
Yeah, but it's better. It's good.
It's you an don't understand,
Kyle.
Don't tell me it's an Azumanga show.
it's the cream of the crop, the top of the top. But that's her thing that she does. It's super cute.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched any of the Monogatari shows, Bames?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't know. Didn't feel like it. I think your stream's cutting out, by the way.
Is it? It could be.
Yeah, it's off air right now.
Oh, weird. All right, we're back on now. I don't know how much... you missed. It couldn't have been that much, I don't think.
Well, Britton was telling me it was being weird, and I assumed it was his internet.
But yeah, we're back now. We were talking about Azumanga shows.
Girls shooting.
Oh, I was asking Bames if he'd ever seen the Monogatari series, which he said he hasn't, because he hates good animes.
Yeah, I like the opening theme.
It has several openings, because it has... different arcs for different characters, and each one has its own opening done by the voice actor. I think it's always actress. It's always a girl that the arc is based around, but based on the voice actress who does the main character for that arc.
Okay. Well, I like Renai Circulation, the one about the green-haired girl.
I don't think there actually is a green-haired girl, but I think I know what you're talking about, because I think she is green-haired in that opening. I think it's Nadako.
Okay, look, maybe she's just green-haired because the version I watched is a Snoop Dogg version.
No, I think she might actually be green-haired in that opening. Like, okay. It's a stylistic thing in that opening. If it's cool. The one I'm thinking about, I like that one too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe I'll watch that show. Maybe not. I'm watching a lot of shows about dudes punching each other.
Yeah, I think... there are overlaps, but I think our taste in anime is like fundamentally different.
Yeah, like mine's good.
Like you really like to watch really ugly dudes punch each other, like really mm-hmm. terrible looking art styles of ugly dudes punching each other.
Yeah, I can't say that Ippo is a good looking show because Ippo is so gross looking. He has this big long nose.
Ippo, Hajime no Ippo, is that the boxing one?
Yeah, Fighting Spirit.
It's called. I will probably never watch that, but I've been specifically avoiding sports anime because I just don't give a shit. It's possible for me to watch a show about sports and still enjoy it because it's really about the characters or whatever. But, the sports angle does nothing for me.
Yeah, like basically the only reason I can get into this one is because it's a sports anime that's about punching.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
But boxing as a sport, like I I like even, like, if there was like an MMA anime, I probably wouldn't watch that either, but I'd be more likely to watch it than a boxing one. Like, boxing is the lamest way to turn fighting into a sport, I think. The only possible exception being pro wrestling.
Yeah. Wait, no, pro wrestling's cool.
No, it's really not. But I have started watching, I've only seen one episode of Kuroko no Basuke or something like that. It's a basketball show. The only reason I'm watching it is because I'm going to be on one of those Sean Ryan podcasts, and he has been paid to talk about that show. And since he's going to talk about that show, I figured I should at least know about it a little bit.
Yeah, I ain't watched that.
It's I've only seen one episode. It's okay so far. I won't know for sure if I really like it until I've seen a couple more, but it's all right.
What's the name of that show where the girls are guns? Is that Apote?
I think that's it. Yeah, I still haven't watched that.
Yeah, me neither. That show seems weird.
Did you hate Angel Beats? Did we talk about that?
Yeah, I didn't like Angel Beats.
Angel Beats was great.
You're great.
How much of it did you watch? All of it?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing when it aired.
And you didn't like it?
No, I just wasn't into it. I like TK.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's... I don't know how to distill it, but I think that's like an indication of the disconnect between you and I. Because I like TK, but like I didn't really like TK. Like, I thought...
Well, he's not like my favorite character but, like, of all time. But
I just... wasn't like, oh man, this hilarious bit. Like, this makes the show. Like, it was not even close to like the reason I was watching it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
TK being the token, I guess, American guy who speaks really strange English phrases out of nowhere.
I mean, English phrases are just probably my favorite thing in Japanese anime.
Bames, I re-listened to some old Itchhead episodes over the last couple of days. And one of the ones I listened to was the one where I talked about Baccano with you.
Yeah.
And it reminded me about a lot of things about Baccano, which I liked Baccano. And I listening to that episode, it sounded like I liked it less than I did. I actually did like Baccano quite a bit. But... I guess this doesn't matter in any way, but they're sort of related. I think I like Durarara a lot more than I like Baccano. What do you think? Do you prefer the Baccanos?
Well, Baccano was my favorite show ever until I watched Kill la Kill. So yeah, I like Baccano a little better.
I think it's just because I have a crush on that headless babe, Celtie.
Yeah, Celtie's great, man.
I really like that voice actress too. I can't think of her name right now. I don't really get into Japanese voice actors. Like, I haven't been searching seiyus or whatever they call them, but
yeah, I get into that with dub actors because a lot more often, like, English voice actors will also be in like some video game I like.
Sure. Well, and the Japanese voice actors usually don't stand out very much to me. Like,
yeah, because the gooks all sound the same.
Yeah, it's just an anime voice or whatever. But that particular voice actress, I like her voice a lot. She was in Kokoro Connect, my favorite anime of all time.
You know, it's been a while since I watched Durarara, because I only watched it once a long time ago. But I remember liking the voice of that Simon guy a lot.
Was Simon the doctor guy?
The Russian guy, the black guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. The giant black Russian guy who works at the sushi shop. Russian sushi.
And he's always giving them like proverbs, like, in this country, we don't have to drink vodka before we go to sleep so we don't die. Just ruminate on that.
There's going to be a second season of Durarara.
Yeah.
But I read somewhere that it's like going to follow the, did you see the, I guess it was an OVA or... whatever, the very last episode of the season that introduced, like, these two girl characters who were, like, the sisters of, I can't think of the guy's name now. The, like, the guy who carries a knife and fucks with everybody. And usually doesn't.
Isaiah?
Yeah, Isaiah. They're, like, his sisters, and they're also, like, they make out with each other or something.
Now, I feel like I recognize that, but I can't actually remember watching that episode.
It was weird because it was like the last episode of the season, but it didn't feel like the episode before that was really like the last episode. And then the very last episode felt more like a mid-season episode or something. And it was just about, God, I can't remember any character names right now. Isaiah and who's the like super strong guy?
Shizuo.
Was it
the Valentine's one or whatever?
It might have been, yeah, where like there's a like a news crew downtown interviewing.
Yeah, yeah, because I think that one might be labeled as episode 12.5.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So those girls were just introduced in that episode, which is part of what makes it feel so weird, because it's like the very last episode, but they're introducing new characters. And I guess I read somewhere that the second season is going to follow them. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, but could be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Other animes talked about on the podcast, but I watched the anime of the Persona 4 games.
Oh, I've and seen...
Since you haven't played the game at all, I can talk about it on its merits as an anime by itself.
Okay. Is it good?
It's all right. It's a pretty fun murder mystery story. And I like that they use video game references in it. Like, this, they always show his stats and stuff, and they transition, like, in the video game.
I've seen it around... I think I've seen it on Crunchyroll or whatever, but I haven't watched it at all.
The animation is mostly really good, but sometimes the faces look really weird, and the music's really good because it's all the music from the video game. So, yeah, I guess like 8 out of 10. It's all right.
I think I told you about most of the animes I've watched now. I watched something called Haibane Renmei, which is a little bit older now, I think. It's from the 2000s, but it's maybe like as old as like 2006 or something, I think. It's a really weird show about it's like this fantasy town that's walled in, which I guess is sort of like Attack on Titan. I haven't watched Attack on Titan, but it's all walled in and people aren't allowed to leave. And there are like two kinds of people. Like there are regular humans. And then there's the Haibane Renmei who are, they look like angels. They have wings on their backs and halos. But they hatch from cocoons fully grown. And they don't remember. They seem to have past lives, but they don't remember them. All they remember is the dream they had in their cocoon. And they get names based on the dream they had in their cocoon. So like one of the characters is named I forget the actual name. It's like the Japanese word for falling, because they had a dream about falling. And it doesn't ever explicitly state this, but it seems but it's really obvious by the end that this is some sort of afterlife for them. Like they died and came back as this weird angel thing. And there are strange rules that seem to have no reasoning behind them. Like they're not allowed to own anything that isn't secondhand. Like they can't own anything new. So they're only allowed to buy clothes from the thrift store. And they're not allowed to handle money directly. So they have these little pocket notebooks that they have to keep track of money they've earned and spent in. And other people handle their money for them.
Hmm.
It's a strange show.
Yeah, sounds weird.
It's in a way, it's sort of like Angel Beats, because it seems that this is some sort of afterlife for them, and they have to like work out their issues. And when they do, they suddenly disappear into the woods, and then you see a beam of light going into the sky, and it's like they've passed on.
It's like the Japanese suicide forest.
Yeah, that's what happens there. People go into the woods and then shoot up into the sky via a beam of light.
Mm-hmm. And they call that Sudoku.
Yeah, committing Sudoku.
I'm just looking at a list of shows. You ever seen Spice and Wolf?
No, I've heard of it, though.
Yeah, that's really up to you on whether you want to jump into that. Because it's not, like, actually a furry show, but ostensibly, it's definitely a furry show for furries.
Is there, like, a girl with wolf ears?
Yeah, and a tail, and she's naked all the time.
Cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said at some point, like, when I first started watching all these animes, that, like, I liked all of them that I'd watched so far. That's not
strict, got over that.
It's not strictly true anymore. I have started a few shows and then gave up on them. Like the most recent one, I think, was one that I kept seeing praised by people called Honey and Clover. I watched one episode of that and didn't give a fuck. It's, I guess it's about like college romance or something. I didn't care. There was some other show called Lovely Complex, I think. It was a,
I recognize that.
It was a wacky show about these high school kids, and one of them is a girl and she's super tall, and the other one is a boy and he's super short, and they both have complexes about their height, and everybody, but, and they hate each other and fight all the time, but like everybody, somehow they always end up hanging out together, and everybody calls them some Japanese comedy duo reference that I don't get because I don't know anything about this Japanese comedy duo, but it was lame. I stopped watching it. There have been a couple others I can't think of.
Oh, man. You ever watch Kite?
No.
It is about this girl who's like an assassin. It's like a movie, I think. I haven't actually watched it. But it seems really weird.
I watched a show called I watched a show called Nana. Have you ever heard of that one?
Nope.
It got one season, and the season was like 46 episodes long. I've never heard of a show with that long of a season.
That's weird. That's like, yeah. Well, I mean, technically, the new JoJo is going to be one season, but it's 52 episodes because it's four cores.
Yeah, I don't know how that...
Cores is just a made-up term so that they can call things seasons when they're not actually...
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that cores thing, but it's like roughly 13 episodes or something, right? Like,
yep.
Yeah, that Nana show was... it's about two girls named Nana, and one of them is like a punk rocker, and the other one is just like a girly girl. And they become best friends and move in together.
It's like that Scarlett Johansson movie that I can't think of what it's called.
Possibly. Yeah. I have no idea.
I got to look this up. But go on.
Kind of a drama. Like their lives get real fucked up. And I got really mad at one of the Nanas at one point. And even though it's 46 episodes long, it doesn't really resolve itself because it's based on a manga. And they had said that they were going to animate the whole thing, but then the manga artist, fell ill and ended up in the hospital in like 2010 or something. And I think she's out of the hospital now, but she hasn't resumed the manga yet. And that makes people really sad. So it ends on a really, like, it ends with their relationships in this really fucked up, like transitionary period. It's kind of a bummer.
The movie I was thinking of is Ghost World.
Oh, no, it's not really like that. Like,
okay, I like that movie a lot.
The punk rock Nana is super punk rock. Like, she's the coolest.
Okay. One of these days, you're gonna wake up after having watched one episode of Hitalia, and I'll be disappointed. Like, you won't know that it happened.
I've heard that name, but I have no idea what that is.
That is a show for M about these Bishonens who are like representative of countries. They're all named after countries, and they just kind of faff around.
That's a sort of interesting anime thing that doesn't really happen outside of at least like Japanese media. Like, I know there's some show that I can't think of the name of. I think it has like blue in it or something, Blue Steel or something, about characters that are battleships. And then there's that show about characters that are guns, and then there's a show about characters who are countries. I think there's a show about characters who are train lines.
Awesome.
I don't really see that in like Western media or anything. That seems to be a Japanese thing.
Yeah. Well, anyways, yeah, it's a super gay but not like actually gay show. About little like Germany and Japan hanging out. And I guess it's really cute as a concept, but I can't watch it because it's weird.
I don't know why, I think I need my shows to have cute girls in them. I know it's not, it's not because I get boners over it, but I don't know why it is. I think I just like them.
That's why I can't recommend anything to you. Yeah. Not that I don't watch shows with cute girls in them. You still haven't watched Idolmaster.
I have, actually. But I watched the, well, I didn't watch all of it. I watched part of the first episode. Okay. I think I've been going to work really early lately, and, but I can't actually punch in. Like, I've been getting rides to work, and because of my rides schedule, I've had to go in early, but I can't punch in until a while later. So at my computer desk at work, I was watching shows for a little bit before work, and I tried to watch, the first episode of Idolmaster, and I think I might like that show, but because of the environment or something, I couldn't pay enough attention to it.
Watch an anime at work.
Yeah. I feel like an IT guy.
Mm-hmm.
It looked nice. I liked the way, I liked the art style or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All the girls are super cool. My favorite one, I don't know if she was introduced at that point. Her name's like Miki. And she's blonde, and she's just like a stone-cold nigga.
I think I was having trouble. I think part of the reason I was having trouble was because there were too many girls.
Yeah, that's a problem with the first episode. And once they all have like their own storylines, it'll probably be easy to remember their names.
I don't know how far into that episode I got. They were chasing a hamster around.
Mm-hmm.
But I might watch more of that. I figure we should probably just end this because I haven't actually ended the episode yet. But so this has been fun. Thanks for listening. I just had a terrible thought, everybody.
You want to know why Kyle doesn't do shows anymore? Here you go.
This is why. Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for listening. We'll check you next week.
Hustle bones coming out of my mouth.
Word.
So it goes, niggas in my lap, oh, 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 niggas in my lap.
Bitch, I was a white bitch, I was a white cracker. Then he went in my bedroom and then he said, I'm putting my dick in your butthole. It's
dickers in my butthole, 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 dickers in my butthole.
And that's the end. Verse that.